Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. Tonight is the council meeting for February 2nd, 2016. Ms. Baker, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Kodak, Camp, Hanford, Gamble, and Scarborough.
Thank you. And I did receive a phone call earlier this evening from Councilmember Rasmussen. He's out ill today. I also received an email from Councilmember Davis indicating that he also would be out ill. Unless there is objection, we will consider both of them as excused absences this evening. As Councilmember Rasmussen had been listed as the person to give the pledge, let's move to Councilmember Camp. Will you lead us in the pledge, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. We do have a sign-up sheet. The person that we have who is signed up to speak is Joe Nigel. Mr. Nigel, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk to the council. It's nice to be on this side of it, and Sultan, I'm on the city council, and I'm on that side. So tonight, during my 5 minutes, and hopefully it will be less than that, I wanted to show you a preview of the documentary called Paper Tigers by director James Redford that we're bringing to the community. We are talking about the Monroe Community Coalition and its partners. Not only did I want to show you the preview, but I wanted to let you know that this is the start of a deeper conversation within the community about mental health issues impacting students and families, and what our response can be as a community. As you may know, Community Coalition has representation from partners as diverse as the YMCA and Councilmember Rasmussen's Boys and Girls Club, the school district, law enforcement, Compass Health, National Alliance of Mental Illness, and on and on. It really is a true community collaboration. We're about to enter our third year here. So actually, January 1st was really the start of the third year. So I'm going to show you a 2-minute preview of the film we're bringing. Ideally, I'm going to show you
that every school in America, walking down every street in America, there are the kids that get labeled, get rid of, get up in trouble. David sits right on the heart.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I see. Sorry. So this documentary is about a real school in Walla Walla, Washington, that has gained national attention for how they've been responding to traumatized youth. I want to warn you that even the preview is a true depiction of circumstances and students in that community. So it's authentic.
Every school in America, walking down every street in America, there are the kids that get labeled, get rid of them, nothing but trouble. David sits right in the heart of the most assault gang activity throughout the city. I think it's the worst school you could ever go to.
Kids at night, the fight, absolute chaos.
He pushed me out back to the chair and said, well, I was going to kill
him. All of them were fed down.
I was invited to go to a conference about complex trauma. I want to stress this to the brain. have to believe that their behavior might be out of their control.
I love playing guitar. So when you guys feel like that, it's almost as strong as anything you've ever done in class.
After that, he wasn't only a disciplined player, he was a good friend.
So Galaxy 12 Theater was kind enough to donate a large theater venue for this. At this point, we have about 30 tickets remaining of 300 for our Monday, February 22nd showing. Admission is free, sponsored by the Coalition. I'm holding a block of tickets for folks on the council who may be interested, including mayor and city staff. So I don't know if it's appropriate for me to hand those out, but those tickets have my email address on there. If you're not registered, please just send me an email. I'd love to register you. Love to recognize you for being a part of the conversation. And there's going to be some great community turnout. The school board will be there, and I hope you can make it. So that's all I wanted to do tonight, a personal invite. Hope we can see you that evening. It'll be a good time. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And we normally don't have interaction during public comment, but you're bringing forward something that is specific, you know, that's unique. So we do have a couple of council members that would like to ask you a couple questions or make a couple comments. So please stay there at the podium. Council member, not Davis, Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for showing that. I already gave a plug for it last council meeting.
Thank you.
I already have my tickets, so I don't need my tickets. So if there's others that need them,
27.
Go for it. Very happy that this is being brought to our community and excited for what's going to come of it.
You should know Pastor Michael Hanford was instrumental in helping us to get the venue.
I know that guy.
Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Could you give us the date, time, and place again?
It's on the ticket that will be passed around. That's Monday, February 22nd. We're going to start at 6:30 p.m. with a brief introduction to some of the concepts the film will be discussing, adverse childhood experiences, and resiliency. And then we'll get right into the film. And when the film is over around 8:30, we're going to have a Q&A session with local mental and behavioral health experts.
And where?
Where? At the Galaxy 12.
Galaxy. Okay.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay, Councilmember Gamble. Okay. You already pushed your light off?
Yeah, this is my email response. I'm in.
Okay, great. Thank you. So also working with your staff to have time to present to you at an upcoming date now that everybody who's going to be on council is on council. And we have some interesting data to share with you from our most recent annual community survey. So I'm looking forward to showing you what the pulse of the community is. Most survey respondents don't know about the coalition, so that's really good data then, because we're not getting responses from the choir. But looking forward to that. I'm so grateful for your partnership, your continuing partnership. Mayor, I just wanted to offer, too, that your recognition, your proclamation of National Suicide Prevention Week was listed in the grant we were just awarded to continue mental health effort. So it really showed community readiness for us to take on that funding.
Excellent.
We wouldn't have gotten it without your early support. So thank you for that, too. It made a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And do you mind if we do have our judge here, Judge Rosano? Would you like a ticket?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much.
Councilmember Hanford, do you mind if I donate your ticket to the judge?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And maybe you could just. Thank you very much.
How did I go pick up my son for basketball practice?
Sounds good. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the council this evening on any issue related to the city of Monroe? Okay. Somebody finish that for me. Thank you. So we'll go ahead and move on. Seeing nobody else, we'll go ahead and move on with the consent agenda. Council, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Camp. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. We'll now move on to unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number one, AB 1516014, discussion impact fee deferral system. And I believe that this is Mr. Osaki. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm picking up on an issue that has been handled by Public Works Director Fowler, who kindly turned it over to me. And that is fine because there's actually some legislative history on this particular matter that I've been involved with, so I can give you maybe a little bit more background and context. But basically for tonight, I just want to bring this topic to you. And the big picture is I'd like to be able to, or staff would like to have the opportunity, we're going to take the opportunity to meet with the stakeholders, because the school districts are very much interested in this. We have a letter in your packet from the Monroe School District. We're going to take them up on their offer to meet. So we'll talk with the Monroe School District, talk with the Snohomish School District. And actually, this legislation was advocated by the building industry. So I'd like to be able to have a chance to meet with the building industry to talk with them about what some of their preferences might be on this particular ordinance when it gets drafted and prepared to present to the Planning Commission and ultimately to the City Council. So I plan to do that during the course of the next month, and actually bring this to the D4 committee for some discussion also, with the idea that as we come back to the council, maybe the first meeting in March, to get some direction for staff to prepare an ordinance to take to the Planning Commission for a formal public hearing process and the recommendation back to City Council. So that's kind of the big picture. But just as a reminder, there's a state law passed in 2015. Again, it was some legislation advanced by the building industry, and it requires local governments to, by September 1 of this year, have in place an impact fee deferral ordinance. And basically, in terms of impact fees, what the city collects for impact fees are traffic impact fees, parks impact fees, and school impact fees. The school impact fee amount right now is zero, but that could change over time, and that's why the school districts are very much interested in this particular process at the local level. The current practice at the City of Monroe is that we collect the impact fees before the building permit gets issued. Under the state law, there's three options for local government. One is to allow an applicant, at their option, because they can still pay at the time of building permit, to allow an applicant to pay the impact fee at the time of final inspection, at the time of the certificate of occupancy, or a third is at the time of closing for the first sale of the property. For all intents and purposes, how Monroe does business, the first two are the same, because the certificate of occupancy and the final inspection occur at the same time. So really, from a policy standpoint, you'll have two choices or options. One is really the certificate of occupancy. We go out, do the final inspection, say this building or single family home is certified for occupancy. The closing typically could happen right around that same time, or may happen several months thereafter. I mean, the house could be certified for occupancy by the city, but it could sit for a while until the home actually sells. And then the second option would be at the time of the sale, at the closing, the city would be given the impact fees. And some other things would be a lien recorded against the property to ensure that the city could get those funds. A city can limit an applicant to up to a maximum of 20 deferrals per year. But you don't have to if you can allow for more than 20 deferrals per applicant. And the city can also assess a reasonable administrative fee to handle the processing of this deferral process. So at your last meeting, you asked what are some other cities, nearby cities or communities doing. Marysville has a deferral program. They've had it since the Great Recession. It's still in place. And they tie the collection of impact fees to the final inspection of the home. Snohomish County did have a deferral program. They put it in place during the Great Recession, but it sunset in 2012. So they're in the same position that the City of Monroe and other communities are right now. They're going to be reworking their deferral program. And there are, I know, several other communities that had a deferral program, not necessarily here in Snohomish County, but during the Great Recession, it was not uncommon for several cities to have a deferral program. So at this point in time, from a staff standpoint, we're just looking for any questions or discussion that you'd like us to research during the course of the next month when we bring this back to you.
Okay. Council members, do you have any questions or comments at this time? Okay, as you can see, just going over the outline, we will be doing outreach to the school districts and the development community. Recall that the school district had requested to be part of the conversation, so that will occur in February. There will also be outreach to the development community. Is that the Master Builders Association? Okay. And then this will come forward to P4 committee for discussion. Is there any objection to having this come forward for more detailed discussion before the P4 committee before coming to council, or do you want this to come to council first? Okay. Seeing no objection, it'll go to P4 committee then. And then this will be brought back forward. These are approximate dates, but probably March 7th, 2016, for city council direction before it goes to planning commission for their process. If there are no other questions, we'll go ahead and go on to the next agenda item. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Osaki.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on this evening's agenda is something I have to click on, new business. So this is new business item number one, AB 16015, discussion 2016 work program. And I'll go ahead and give a brief intro on this, and then I think, will staff be going over the items in here?
Correct.
Perfect. Okay, so we tried to do something like this last year, come up with one thing that a lot of jurisdictions do is they have a retreat in the first month or two of any given year, especially following an election year. It's an opportunity for people to go over visions and goals and things like that. We, of course, just adopted a comprehensive plan with visions and goals and policies, and so it made sense to go ahead and build, instead of having one of these retreats, it made sense to us to go ahead and build a work program around the comprehensive plan that was just adopted last year. So what you have before you this evening is a work program that identifies on a relatively high level for you a variety of things that staff and I and council and planning commission and parks advisory board will be working on over the course of this year with approximate dates. And to the extent that we could, we tied, you'll see that some staff members were able to tie some of these to policies in the comp plan. Just because there isn't something written there doesn't mean that it's not connected with policies in the comp plan. It just, we just didn't put the policy numbers in there. So what you're going to see in here are some approximate dates. As you get later in the year, you're going to see quarters or approximate months. There are things in here that are squishy in terms of schedule. You know, things will take longer than we expect, and certainly near the end of the year, things could become very different than what we see today. What we're going to be doing is we'll start populating your extended agenda to reflect some of the things in here, some of the milestones where things come before council. Some of the things that you're going to see in here are very much policy and budget. Some of the things in here are more administrative in nature, like streamlined permit processes. So that's kind of where things are. Staff now is going to go through and present some of the items in there. And part of this also is that for the committees, to the extent that council would like to assign some of these tasks to the committees then are being plugged into the schedule also. So these items in here could form some of the work programs that you have for the various committees, and we talked a little bit about that at Finance Committee this evening. So before we begin, does anybody have any questions for me? Okay. What this is it's a roadmap for 2016. All right. Okay. Mr. Bassel.
We'll start with community development. So I'm looking at page 3 of 11, and each director will stand up and kind of just give you a quick overview. They won't go through every single item on here, but certainly if there's an item that there's a question on, feel free to stop the director. So, Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, actually most of this should sound pretty familiar, and I'm not going to focus too much on specific dates unless something's more immediate. So just working through this, there's some common themes. One is building, one is code enforcement, and third is permit processes, fourth might be downtown, and the fifth is comprehensive plan. So the first item, building code update, we have to bring an ordinance to the city council this year to update our building codes. That happens every 3 years. The state building code council updates the building codes at a state level, and we as a local government are required to adopt those new building codes. That would be the first item. That has to be done by July 1st. Review the code enforcement codes and procedures. We talked about that a little bit the last meeting. I think there's an opportunity to really go into our existing codes that deal with code enforcement and to try to get some clarity in terms of process and be able to deal with situations. So that's another item that I'd like to be able to deal with during the course of 2016, although that's kind of a latter of the year process. The next two are very much related to permit processing, to provide exceptional consistency in codes, hire customer service. We're going to work with a stakeholder committee to identify code amendments and changes to our brochures and items like that that they feel are necessary. And what I'm really going to try to ask that group is, because we just can't do everything, just prioritize your top 5 or 10 items that you really think would be helpful for us as a city to improve our permit processing, especially in terms of codes. And then we'll work on the codes and bring those forward. Expand planning and development information on the city website. Actually, what that is I find that people really love to be able to go to a website and find out what type of development activity is going on in the community. And I think we can do a better job of communicating that to the public by providing that information on our website. Implement the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan that was just adopted has some need for some zoning changes and some changes to some zoning districts, so we need to get that done during the course of 2016 as well. The establishment of a Main Street program is also a priority. We just issued, I think today, an RFP for consultant assistance to work on the establishment of a self-sustaining Main Street program in the year 2017, but the work will be done by that consultant during the course of this year. Sign code enforcement education program, at least want to be able to start educating the public in terms of here's what the sign code says, and it goes back to what I said, one of the best ways to deal with code enforcement is to prevent the problem from happening to begin with. So I think we can hopefully begin to do some education with the public to deal with that particular issue. And then even though the city just finished the comprehensive plan update process, you have an annual process that begins in earnest in June, and the city council will hold a public hearing in the third quarter on the docket for the conference plan amendments for this year. So that is our work program, add the impact fee deferral, and a few other things, and we're off and running.
Okay. Council members, is there anything in here that you have questions on at this point in time? Are there any additions? Any concerns? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Osaki. Oh, I'm sorry. Councilmember Campbell.
No, I guess as we go through these separate components. Now, I know we talked last week, there was different positions that we talked about that may be associated with being able to provide these different levels of services.
No, this is a different conversation.
I understand it's a different conversation.
Okay.
Right? But what I'm saying is that when we're looking at the community development work plan here, and I'm looking at review code enforcement, code procedure, possible code amendment, part of his overall plan for the year,
uh-huh,
as we talked about it last week,
yeah,
is I'm just looking from you talked about committee structure, right, and things that we need to be looking at from a committee structure, studying more in a committee to be able to come and bring back here. Should we be looking at that type of stuff from in totality? So if we've got all of these recommendations on positions as we discussed last week, mm-hmm, some of them, as I scroll through, I can see where they fit into the overall plans or within their respective departments or where they would fit in. Do we want to send some of that out to committee to be looked at as far as, okay, where does the funding go? If you were to staff all of them, what does that, what does that mean? Where's the revenue expense? All that type of stuff. Not connecting. I can see that.
Right? Yeah, no, not connecting. So I'm not understanding. So this right here is the work program for the year, and it doesn't rely on adding new staff. So you're asking about the committee's involvement, whether it's this or the...
How do you look at this if we add those things that were talked about last week, like the city clerk, the parks director?
These are your. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, this stuff here doesn't rely. So this, what you're looking at here, does not rely on the conversation from last week about positions. This right here can be done with our existing staff. generally speaking. I'm going to leave a little wiggle room there in case I'm forgetting something.
Because I will hold to that, if that's the case. Seriously.
So, yeah, as we're going through this, so let's keep an eye on that. Everything that Mr. Osaki just went through here is assuming that we have a normal year and things are relatively predictable, we are hoping to achieve throughout the course of this year. Is that a reasonable? Oh, Mr. Brazel, please.
There will be some crossover, like when we start talking about the municipal campus.
Yes.
And certainly that will tie to the strategic financial plan. That's what Councilmember Gamble is asking. And so there will be some crossover, but Mr. Mayor is right. A lot of what you're looking at in the departments, that it will be work that we're doing this year with existing staff.
Yeah, and the ask I was saying is that where there is crossover, that we take it from all the different departments.
Understood.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Understood.
Okay, great. Anything further?
No.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Osaki. Who's next? All right. The next person that we have is Judge Rosano from the Municipal Court.
Good evening. I will be hopefully equally brief, if not briefer. I think I can address first off what's going on within the court is within the court, and we're dealing with it with our own staffing, so we'll get that out right away. We're very excited. We are implementing tomorrow as our first day video court, which is going to be a big savings in time for law enforcement. We tend to hold a number of people in custody because they tend to not be responsible, either about getting back or not committing new crimes. So we've been using a lot of transport officers to bring them back and forth. We have video court starting tomorrow at, I believe, is it 2:30? I will be here looking into a camera and watching a screen so that we won't be doing the transports anymore. It saves the time. It also saves liability. There's no longer the issue of escape or other aspects with regard to the long commute for the prisoners. So that's a big step for us. With that, we're also reorganizing our calendars. We noticed that we had them set up as the number of cases on the calendars have been increasing. Each calendar was lapping over into the next, and we had citizens coming in for their infractions that were sitting and waiting a couple times. We had situations where they were here while other people were being taken into custody. It's going to be cleaner. We're going to have the citizens' infractions on Tuesday mornings, and we'll have the other calendars spread out throughout the day on Wednesday, the attorney-based calendars. We're also looking into, and it's kind of interesting, the presentation tonight, because I'm looking into different alternative courts that are out there, community courts. Mr. Bloss actually came and sat through an entire morning calendar with me, sat, I think, actually in your seat, Judge Mayor Thomas. watched the entire morning calendars, and he's going to come back and talk to me. He wants an hour or two of my time to be able to discuss the potential of mental health court. It's something I'm curious about. I'm cautious. I don't want to go down a road that's going to be expensive without a whole lot of payback. So I'm going to be looking into that. There's also the LEADS program out of the Seattle Municipal Court that's received a lot of recognition recently, and I have contact information down there to talk with them about that program and see what they have to offer, how effective has it truly been. Received a lot of press. I want to talk to both the judge, the court side, and law enforcement side to kind of get a grounded feel for that, and also to get a good idea of how expensive that has been for them to operate. But it's based on what has been reported, it's a very successful program. And then other than that, the other items that are on the agenda are kind of speculative items, so I'm not going to go into those too much unless you have any questions.
Okay. Do you want to just go ahead and pop very quickly through those last two bullets?
Sure, okay. I can do that. The last two bullets have to do with the potential for other cities along the corridor here that have voiced at least some preliminary interest in joining our court. I've been approached by a couple of individuals, and I've passed that on to city, a couple of individuals who are in city management along the way, and I have indicated I am open to and willing to consider the possibility here in this court of bringing in other cities. The first to approach, I think, is small enough it wouldn't have much impact on the volume or the time spent in court, but if we start getting other cities, we'll start looking at an expansion of the court. I would be willing to, and my staff, probably more my staff than myself, talking with, sitting down and helping with the negotiations when we're talking about how much is it going to cost for us to bring in that increase. My time is one thing, staff time, I can sit in court and handle additional cases. Staff have a lot more work to do in each case, so we might need additional staff. And that's something that would be need to be, our city planners would need to know before they're walking into those negotiations, so that they have a reasonable idea of how much it's going to cost and be able to negotiate a reasonable fee. So with all that, should that come to fruition, I also plan on making myself and my staff available to assist and to work towards the integration. Will we be integrating, a calendar? Is it going to be one prosecutor handling all of those calendars on all those different cases on one calendar, or is it going to be, depending on how they've contracted with, are we going to have to set up different calendars for different cities and things like that? That's part of what we would be need to be looking at. It's done. Marysville Municipal Court handles also Lake Stevens and Arlington, so we have an example right here within the county. I think there are some other courts down in South King County that also do the same. So we have other places we can look for some guidelines on that, some guidance. But generally speaking, it's not unheard of, and it would be a way of making our court more feasible and kind of more, kind of making Monroe again kind of the central spot for the corridor. I would like to, and I don't know if they're even interested, but the city of Snohomish would be probably about as far west as I would think about going. But I haven't talked to them yet. They haven't approached me. I'm not sure where they're at on that. So that's about it.
So we have a couple questions.
Sure.
And thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
No, I was in when you were talking the video court, just the logistics. You said we start tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we've got it all ready
to
go.
Where does that occur?
It's going to be, I believe I'm going to be in chambers.
So
no, right here? Okay, out here.
We have all the equipment that's roll away. We roll it in.
It's big.
One camera on her, one on the prosecutor. IT. Yeah.
I did a dry run at Marysville. They had me come up and sit and do one of their video courts, so that I've actually gone through it once. It's not going to be complete.
That was my other. So I see it's like a state approved.
Yes. Video courts existed for almost as well. It has existed for pretty much as long as I've been a lawyer, which is well over 20 years now.
Great. Thanks.
Anything else?
Thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I was just curious.
Oh. Yeah.
But you're going to ask someone something.
No, I saw a hand and then a finger pointing
down. Oh, okay. You said something about a LEADS program from Seattle. I was just curious what that was. Or did I
LEADS
misunderstand?
Is Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion,
okay.
Which the chief is going to get mad at me because I haven't talked to him about it yet. But it was something around the and I didn't want to go to him and bother him without researching it. I read an article about it and became aware that they've had a program where they do a diversion type situation, but they have, instead of hiring probation officers, they actually have, I believe it's something akin to like the ACT officers or the PRO-ACT officers are assigned kind of problem people to monitor them because they're already there, they're in that location, they're involved, and I think that the idea is law enforcement is a lot less likely to be fooled because they are there, they see what's happening, and the excuses and the explanations and the lies that come out don't fly, and so it's a much more realistic and much more truly supervised situation where you're saying, are you using drugs? Are you committing new crimes? It's not when we catch you. It's almost daily they're under the microscope, and they've found that that has had a very positive effect. What I would like to know, what wasn't contained in the literature that I read, is who are they dealing with? Are they dealing with the hardened criminals? Are they dealing with the fringe criminals? Are they dealing with the first time I made a mistake and stepped the wrong way and I live in the wrong neighborhood kind of individuals? You know, who is truly benefiting from this program? And are those same individuals the individuals we're dealing with here in Monroe? Because before I go, racing off after an alternative court program, I really want to know that it's the right one for here. Not just, in Washington, D.C., they may have some great programs going, but they may not translate to our community. We have a community with, unfortunately, a very high drug use among our youth, and part of that is because we are rural. The beautiful, wonderful things about being rural don't translate the same way for entertainment factor for kids. And so then we're dealing with this influx of heroin in our valley. And how do we address that? My court isn't dealing with kids. My court is dealing with adults 98% of the time. So I'm not going to be doing that intervention at the child level. But what can we do? Because those are the big brothers and big sisters, the parents, the cousins, whatever, of the kids that are having that influence. So what can we do to make a change in our valley? I don't have the answer. I just have a burning interest in it. So that's what I'm looking into.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Do you have... have you been approached by Snohomish or other cities to be part of our court?
I have been approached by other cities, not Snohomish. Snohomish is a pretty big city along our corridor. I would love to see them be interested, but I don't know that they are at this point.
And east?
East of here there have been, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anything further, Council? Thank you very much, Jesuit.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have is Public Works Plan, and this would be Mr. Feilberg.
Public Works Work Plan.
What did I say?
You will have to ask the word work.
Oh, Public Works Work Plan. Thank you. You did that on purpose.
So, basically, highlighted the dates that will be of interest to council. There's a lot more steps in the projects, but this is basically when things come to the council for approvals, things like that, and then also when projects start and stop. So even if someone asks you, you can tell them when it's anticipated to start. So we have our list of capital improvement projects, and then a little bit on this top of page 6 of 11, it's the road rehabilitation projects, which are being funded by the Transportation Benefit District, and also some extra money we received from the Transportation Improvement Board to stretch our transportation benefit dollars further. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you. So just popping through these, I see that the Attorney Place extension on the bottom of page 3, we're expecting to have that complete right around August.
Correct.
We've got a couple sidewalk program sidewalk projects on 179th, West Main. And does anybody have any questions? All right.
I have a question.
Oh, yes, Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay, and you can probably understand why I have this question. Rivermont Water Main replacement, is that in conjunction with the repaving?
That's ripping the whole thing up and doing replacing the water line and replacing the entire road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going to be doing anything to provide outreach to the neighborhood there to let
yes.
them know? Okay.
Besides
I would assume the answer is yes.
Besides me?
In addition. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. There are more questions. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Farlands pedestrian rail crossing?
Yes.
Where and what?
That is a sidewalk across the railroad tracks on the east side of Farlands Boulevard to replace that well-worn trail.
On the east side?
Yeah, past the gas station to the YMCA. Because the bus stops there, on these stops.
Oh, right.
Work there, get off the bus, and climb over the railroad tracks.
Got it. Okay.
And the reason it's set, that one and one of the 179, there's such long projects, is because we had to decide what we wanted to do, and then we sent that off to the railroad, and they'll tell us in August if they'll let us do it.
Oh, okay.
And then we have to design it and get it approved by them and then build it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback, you had your...
Well, just on that, I think that's a great idea to do those. That's a safety issue. It just seems people cross there all the time, and there's just not...
There's quite a well-worn path there.
Yes, there is. And so I don't remember seeing that on the project plan. Would that be something that's on there? You know, we have the list of the projects for transportation.
Yeah, the $35 million. I'm not sure if it's exactly on there listed as that, but...
This is the first I'm seeing I think. And I could have missed it before, but it's great. We're glad we're doing it.
A community development block grant for it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I just didn't remember it as one of the list of the projects, but I think it's a great idea. So kudos for putting it on here and getting the money for it.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, to that point, I don't think it would be on there, though, right? Because it's a sidewalk?
That's all
trails.
Not part of the transportation.
It's a part of the, we would consider that, because that was not my understanding, those 10 to 15 streets that we had identified. Is that what you're talking about, the improvement?
Yeah. The Centennial Trail's on there. I just assumed it.
Because I thought we actually had, you know, where we could create a same list for sidewalks and crossings. We don't have one currently, but I thought that if I remember correctly when we were discussing, because we were determining what level of service we wanted to have for our sidewalks, and then that you could have your own, you know, capital improvement plan. There'd be two separate lists, right? Unless I'm...
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was also actually one of the specific items in the policies that were left in the comprehensive plan was to improve the pedestrian access.
Sure. Yeah. Right. But I'm just referencing that I don't think it would even be on the one that you're talking about. We don't really have any crossings or any, you know, identified proactively. I mean, we have $32 million that we would love to drop from the sky, and we have all these road projects, but we haven't identified any crossings. From my knowledge. Am I forgetting something?
No, this is the first time seeing it too.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is, should we? Should we be?
Don't look at me.
Anyway, all right.
Thank you. Anything further?
Nope.
All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to the Parks Work Plan. Mm-hmm. Mr. Farrell.
So Parks Work Plan, just run down the list real quick and then just entertain any questions. Obviously the Wake Park will be developed this year, and Low Tech Park. Skate park improvements will also occur this year. We're very close now, I've said this before, to advertising for construction bids. So it's really imminent any day now. Lake Tide building upgrade. We'll be putting out a call for bids for design first, and then construction will follow. Cabin Pit Master Plan, that's also something on the plan for this year, to go out and work with a consultant to work through a master plan for that site. Ball field safety, netting and fencing. So that's another project that we have on for this year. Fairfield Park entry realignment. So I'll be touching bases with the county to see what time this year we'll be doing their side of the event realignment there. That's for Fairfield Park. And then mini grants, that's the new initiative. So we have art, and I've already reached out to the Monroe Arts Council, and also to Snohomish County Arts. Snohomish County Arts, staff, and so we're developing a hardware policy to proceed in for that. And also along with the mini grants mentioned in there is also for there'll be some funding available for events that are occurred in the new downtown improved area on Main Street, Main Lewis, around that area. So then moving along to grants.
Before you move on, we have a couple lights here, so why don't we go ahead and take those on this section, then we'll move down to grants. Councilmember?
I'll wait. I'm going to wait for my question until after or towards the end.
Perfect.
I'm okay.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So just wanted to clarify, is the skate park improvements and the wakeboard park improvements going to overlap, or
yes, probably.
And those are, they're going to be working together?
Yes, so we have been in communication, both parties, so we'll keep a close working relationship so those projects, you know, can work closely together.
Okay, good. That was, true of that. And then I have my other questions on the grant, so I'll pause from that.
Okay. All right, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Just a reminder about the Lake Tai building upgrade.
What is that?
Yeah.
So what we're looking at to design are some enhancements to the west-facing side of the building that overlooks the ball field.
Right.
Where traditionally at events you'll have, you know, DJ,
right,
music,
movies,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, to make some enhancements for performances, outdoor performances. So it'd be a matter of extending the overhang of the building, possibly a couple of wings off the sides of you know, open roof type, to, you know, sort of be a covering. Definitely with the backdrop, making some improvements there for the look and also for sound absorption, that sort of thing. And also we'd be looking at making enhanced, or actually changing the focus of the direction of the concession facilities that we have in the building, facing more northward towards the lake. You know, to one with the improvements, Wake Park, Skate Park, obviously all the beach activity, it just makes sense to focus it there versus on the west side. It's through the years when they've been out there outside of an event, it really hasn't been noticed as noticeable, you know, to operate on that side.
Are there any?
The third improvement that we're aiming out of this is down on the surface, we'd be extending the concrete. When you're walking on the west side there, we'd extend that out a few more feet, and we'd also look at the drainage issue that we've had at the base of that hill there, and make an improvement
on the base.
Okay.
Is there any? There's nothing with the covered sectors or covered buildings down there, the picnic areas. Those are going to remain the same. We're not making any changes there.
Not in this project. No.
That was it. Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Being the new guy, can you tell me what the Cadman Pit master plan is?
Well, we haven't done that. So what that is the Cadman site, mine site that's adjacent to Scarborough Park, just below the Rotary Field, that's been mined for many years. That's set to be transferred over. How many acres?
73.
Okay, thank you.
I remember.
Correct. That sounds good to me. So about 73 acres to the city, and there's a small pond in that area right now, and so we're just looking at master planning, you know, what sort of recreation opportunities would we have there, you know, so we could trail around that pond, some amenities and you know, at the park. So that's what the master plan would do, and so it would break out to some engineer estimates of phases of development for the site that makes sense, and identify, you know, environmental work that would need to be
done
as well.
Thank you.
Okay, and before you continue, the parks work plan, and since we're talking about Lake Tai Park, can you tell me a little bit about how things are going with the memorial that that is going out there?
Yeah. So the city has executed an agreement with the American Legion, and they are in fundraising mode. So that's a good point to bring that up. I don't have that on the list there, but that's out there too, as far as it may be coming back to us, and I would need to touch bases with the Legion to see how the fundraising is going.
Okay. Great. So we still have a couple lights. I understand that we're going to wait until after we get through the grant section. So please go ahead and continue.
Right. So on grants here, we'll be executing, we already are, the state RCO, the WWRP grant award for the skate park improvements. Then we'll also be executing our local Monroe lodging tax grant awards for the Pro Tour, the Wakeboard Pro Tour event, which is back this year after a one-year hiatus. The Tri-Monroe event, which is, I believe, in its seventh consecutive year. And also to create some destination brochures. And then we'll also be executing a Snohomish County LTAC grant award. We were awarded $9,600 to design tourism banners that promote tourism for Monroe, and it would cover the downtown area. It would also cover the North Kelsey area. We've had banners on those poles since the North Kelsey area and Tierney Place were approved. So that's great, and that's on the agenda, the grant agreement for next week to be authorized. Move along. I don't believe, I will confirm though, that we were awarded the Snohomish County REIT grant. We applied the REIT grant for $10,000 for downtown public art. So anyways, I'll keep find out what the status of that is. And then the last in the grant section is administer, as I mentioned earlier, the new Monroe mini grants program. And there's something else that's not on the list here when put this together is the there's been a supplemental budget request with the state for converting the soccer field at Lakes High and the ball field closest to Arlington Elementary School to all-weather fields. And that supplemental budget request is for $500,000. So if that ball starts rolling, then it's going to cause other grant applications for matching funds to occur. So I've already identified several grant programs to apply for. So that's also and just lastly, I just wanted to just a little summary there of events. So they're for 2016, they're going to resemble last year with the added return of the Pro Lake Tour. And of course, we talked about earlier, H3O will begin the developments of Lake High Park. And we have begun coordinating, we've been meeting with the school district on the potential options for joint scheduling and or maintenance of the new ball field at Monroe High School. So there'll be one ball field that'll be opened up later this month.
Yes.
That'll be in operation for this season, and the other two most likely will be under construction this summer, and they'll be ready for the next season.
All right. Questions and comments. So Councilmember Gamble.
Well, first I want to go back just a touch, but on the safety netting component that was called out, and now is that for Sky River and for Lake Tai, both ball fields?
It's mainly for Sky River, but yeah, you brought up Lake Tai. There's actually some of the netting we noticed is getting a bit worn, so I think we're going to have to replace some of that, and I believe we can utilize some of the funding there. We're not going to cover the whole plaza with the trees and whatnot there at Sky River Park,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to make some additional netting additions there to
improve the space. Okay. And then the last paragraph as far as scheduling maintenance ball fields, obviously that's an add to what the existing maintenance schedule is. I know we're talking existing.
Certainly, yeah, whatever we're going to end up doing as far as in partnership with the school district would be in addition to what we
currently do today. That's all I'm just saying is their crossover there to the earlier conversation, based off of the conversations we had previously where we're having trouble keeping up with service levels today. This is an ad that's called out on the plan. So
perfect. I would argue also that the Catman Park
is an ad
too.
Yeah.
Good points. Yes. And you know, that's one thing. I'm going to go ahead and take a moment to recognize this. We do a lot where we do ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings for new facilities. But it's not just about making the capital improvement. It's also about doing the maintenance and the O&M on it. And that's something that's important when we open up a new facility. And we've opened up a lot of new parks over the years.
A couple more roundabout landscape areas, things like that, too.
Yeah. Every time we do those things, it adds work that, you know, it had space that needs to be programmed, maintained, and so on and so forth. Very good. Thank you. Anything further, Councilmember?
Good.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So can you just refresh the ball field that is going to open up this next month at Monroe High School is an all-weather
field? Yes, it's an all-weather lighted youth softball field, 200-foot fence.
Okay. And then the other two are all-weather lighted as well?
Yes, all three of them will be lighted.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks.
Councilmember Cutback, you're welcome.
Mike, you talked about the events being the same as 2015. Is the music in the park going to be going on again? I know there was funding trouble a little bit for the last couple, and that was very well received by the public. Mm-hmm. So is there still plan that's going to be back?
Yeah, we're talking with the Chamber of Commerce is interested in doing supporting those again, but not in the number that they were last year. And we kind of, I'm in agreement with that it makes sense to have Fridays in July, so it'll be about four of them, and then switch over to the Friday movies in August. And then the movies include music.
Yeah.
Pre-movies, as you know. So,
yeah.
So, and also on that, we have some of the local sponsors of a few of those music events have indicated that they are interested in, you know, continuing that relationship. And then also I've had a discussion with Community Transit, and there's potential there that they may want to assist with that as well.
Oh, that'd be great. Yes. And then one more question about some of the capital projects. You and I talked about this at the Jamie Bendel run and putting in a little plug there possibly on the work plan of doing some improvements on the dog park. And I know a lot of flooding caused a lot of damage, and I know that'll be repaired, but just looking at some improvements over the next year or two and what that would take. So.
Yeah, and in the discussion that we were having revolved around, the ability, I think, and the idea that that improvements there, such as a higher fence there, could be something that we could get from the community. So
yeah.
It wouldn't be necessarily a budget mm-hmm. request, at least at this point in time. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, anything further on parks? All right, seeing none, let's go ahead and move into PD. Chief Quinzer.
Hi, Rick Quinzer.
Wasn't the patch on the other eye last night?
It's patch
on. Good morning, first of all, last year, I met with every employee in the police department and asked for the ideas that they had for improving the police department and what they liked about the police department and what they didn't like about the police department. And one of the things that you see on the work plan here is an item that came up, and which is sorely needed, is a strategic plan. And we are going to do the strategic plan for the next 5 years. We'll be reviewing our vision and our goals and what we would like to achieve during that time frame. I know we only have one thing on the work plan here, but I need to tell you that we have three big projects that are ongoing. Two of them have already started. One was the New World Communication and Reporting System that we're trying to work through, work the bugs out, and it'll take some time till we become comfortable with it. We're also implementing a program called Lexapol, and this has to do with all our policies that we have within the department. And also, Lexapol provides us with daily training for the officers. They have a 5-minute training session every day at roll call when we get that underway. Both those two items are underway, and we're also, as I said, we have now started the first committee meeting of employees trying to work on the strategic plan. We should have it done by July 1st.
Thank you. Any questions, Council? Comments? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much, Chief. Great. Big thanks. Big space here. Let me scroll down. Okay, and then an appendix. Gene, would you like to go over anything else?
No, just that as we move through this, we'll continue to keep Council apprised of where we're at. We actually break this down a little further for staff's use on we'll be breaking out in discussions certain things that will be going to the committee level, and as we start populating the long-term agenda, we'll also be sliding things over into the committee work plans. We kind of talked about that tonight in the HR Human Resources Committee meeting.
One question for Council. There is one addition since we put together the committees over a decade ago, and that is the court. It would make sense, I guess, to put it in the P4, public safety, but I could see how it would also be in finance. Thoughts? Is there a preference? Okay, why don't we put it in P4 for right now? And so we'll go ahead and we'll make a note that anything related to the courts, if it needs to go to committee, we'll go to the P4 committee. Yes, there's not a P in front of
the court. I was going to say it's P5 now.
It's P4C. C4C. CP4. Yeah. No, C4. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to reach to Star Wars and it's just not working.
I guess.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I guess the only thing I would say, though, is that if we're looking at some of the stuff we're looking at, it's an expense. There's a lot of expense revenue stuff that's associated with extending services.
Correct.
All that kind of stuff. If that's what's on the docket in the near future, would that be better going to finance as opposed to P4?
Well, so you've got two conversations there, and certainly in government you're going to have that, where you've just about, there are a lot of policy decisions that you make that have budgetary consequences,
sure.
And so you've got to make the decision which one does it make more sense. If you're talking about the service delivery, then certainly the service delivery component of it could belong in the subject matter committee like P4. If you're talking about the finance, financial strategy, maybe it belongs in finance. So, it's certainly one of those things that we can maintain flexibility on any one of the topics, and council can go ahead and assign things to one committee or the other, or just bring here.
Yeah. I was just going based off of where we know we're going in the near future, that's all.
Right. Okay, and some of the items that she was bringing up, I think, require a little bit more vetting, like, doing interlocals with other jurisdictions. We need to follow up with those jurisdictions, find out how serious they are, and get an idea of what our costs would be. We wouldn't want to do something and be going negative. We need to make certain that we're recovering all of our costs if we're going to be taking on. Yep. All right. Anything further? All right. Anything else from you, Gene? Okay. Let's go ahead and move on. And Council, thank you very much. We now have next on the agenda, Council Member Reports. All right. Council Member Scarborough.
Well, we all went to Olympia Wednesday and Thursday, and I got my education, or part of it anyway. It was very interesting. Had a very nice meeting with Representative Scott, Representative Christensen, and Senator Pearson. Let the mayor talk about those subjects, pretty much. It was myself and Pro Tem Ms. Cutterback and the lobbyists
And it was a very interesting meeting, and it was very, very enlightening. And since I'm the new guy on the block, my learning curve is like this. So, I once again, mostly all eyes and ears, and keep my mouth shut and learn. So.
All right, thank you. And I'm sorry, I went right into individual council member reports. Let's do the committee report first. And I understand that our committee chair is Council Member Gamble.
Yeah, so Finance HR met tonight. We elected a chair.
Gamble.
Yeah.
I was president at the time.
I was president at the time. It worked backwards. I was there first, and somehow I ended up. Anyway. We did get the update that the reviews were completed and delivered for 2015, so that's our biannual update from staff on making sure that process we put in place 3 years ago is making sure we're executing on that, so that was completed. Our next update on that will be mid-year for the mid-year reviews. Let's see. Need to look at. And then basically what the mayor just said, we did talk about looking at just the 2016 kind of work plan from the finance HR side of things. On as we look at the work program and all the stuff we have on the agenda, is what stuff do we want to push for further study on the finance HR side to push out. But I think that's going to be the kind of the topic of discussion over the next month or so for all of the committees. What stuff would makes more sense as we dig into it further. So that's it, and then basically we next meeting is March 1st.
Sounds good.
Not March 3rd.
March 1st.
March 1st.
That's right, March 1st. Not March 3rd. And one other thing that was not on the work program that you've already started is that finance conversation that we started a week ago. So that's one thing that occurred to me. That is part of the work program for this year, is to go over that, and that a lot of that certainly can be deferred to the Finance and HR Committee. Okay, your individual report.
Individual reports. So let's see here. So Olympia today,
yes,
went down with the mayor, and carpooled down with
County Council Member Klein.
Yeah, Mr. Klein, who I happen to go to high school with, so it was good to catch up with him. And spent the day at the legislators' luncheon with the Economic Alliance, Snohomish County Economic Alliance. If ever there was an illustration of why it's so important for us to be at these functions, it just was reiterated there. You know, we had the legislators there that spoke. You could see there was one that when they would go into their speech about, you know, some of the stuff trying to get accomplished, and as we're looking long term, the four or five speakers, there was one that really only 522 was. That was a part of their, you know, the standard. But the others did a scan in the room, and then once they realized there was Monroe representation and the mayor was there, then 522 came up, where it wasn't. It wasn't on the tip for them quite yet. So yeah, if there ever was proof that you know, we just that we're already, you know, seeing a little bit of difference because we are showing up and making our presence felt, and every reiteration that we need to keep doing that as council members and just, you know, overall. That was confirmed for me today. So good for me to see that firsthand. So that was short and sweet. Down and back. Got a peanut butter cookie. That was good. last Friday I toured the high school. So the district has a program where if you have an incoming eighth grader going into the high school, where you show up at the admin building, jump on the bus, go over. It's great, fantastic. Get the tour to school. Why it's in session. Got to see the field. You were asking about the field, and they're talking about that's open up here this month to start practicing. So which is fantastic. So it was good to see that. And then they take you on the bus back to the admin building. And one of the things that I did notice in just looking is how dilapidated our admin location. It's just an old building. So yeah. I know we've talked in the past, but as we look at planning and we look at different options, you know, for us as we're trying to figure out our long-term strategy, I do think, you know, that is something potentially to look at, as we've discussed before, that, hey, we do have another... We do have the school that is in a similar situation. And is there synergies that can be gained between the two? So,
The paint was Penny Lavis.
Talking about Monroe Middle?
No, I'm talking the Monroe admin. The ad, you know, where the administration is.
Those are in summertime, no air conditioning.
The district office. The district office, yeah.
It's 100 and something.
It's old, yeah. It's, yeah. Anyway, but no, it was a great week. Good week.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a great week as well. One thing to report, unfortunately we had the tragic death of the two-year-old. And so my wife and I and family went to the candlelight vigil. Saw Mike there as well on Saturday for the Hill family. And so it was a good, very good, sweet, short candlelight vigil. It was good. I found out that the family has been here for a month.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of love outpoured and a lot of encouragement cards, and so hopefully, you know, they'll reach out to get that help that's being offered. So other than that, that's all I have to report.
Thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'd like to echo the comments about the vigil. I went there as well. Very deep, moving, and so the community would come together for newcomers for to provide that much, as much comfort as they could. I also, anyway, so changing the tone, I went to the Downtown Association meeting this afternoon, and they have a lot of activities planned for their group. I think that was their primary goal today. Hopefully I'll be able to find more information about plans they have for downtown and things going to change.
Thanks.
I have a request that I would like council. I'd like to report that the Tigers have been working on their flag ceremony again, and I would like to extend an invitation to the Tigers to do the flag ceremony on 223, if that would be okay with everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if at all possible, a tour of the police department, if they got here early. That'd be great. So I'll let the Scoutmaster know if everybody's okay with that, and that's all I've got.
And what Tiger... What pack is it?
I never get that number.
Could you get the pack?
Scoutmaster calls me up, and I'll get you the number.
Yeah, if you could go ahead and email me the pack. What we'll do is we'll have that added to the agenda so that in the public record it shows Pack X Tiger Cub. That would be cool. Thank you, sir.
And I apologize for not getting the pack.
It's okay. All right, anything further? Councilmember Cutterback.
I attended the Jamie Bendel run on Sunday, so kudos to the police department, parks department, correctional center. It was a great run. It's important that we not forget. So I think the police does a great job keeping that top of mind. And I had some really good feedback. Mike introduced me to the, I guess he's the promoter for Tryman Row, he runs it. But he had such great things to say about the Parks Department and the City of Monroe, and how he loves working with the City of Monroe and how it's one of the best places to have the triathlon. Just kudos to the Parks Department. And he was actually volunteering that day, came back for the Jamie Bendel run and did the timing and set up just because of the relationship with the city and how great the city does. So kudos to Mike and the Park Department and building those relationships. So that was great. And it was a great run. So appreciate everybody who came out and supported that cause. Yep.
Thank you. Let's head out to staff. Judge Rosano this evening. Anything to report from court?
Nothing that I haven't already said.
Okay. Mr. Worthen.
Nothing
to say. Okay, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to echo Councilman Cutterback's comments about Jimmy Biddle. Yes, definitely well organized event. The Department of Corrections and Borough PD, Parks, Public Works are, you know, all part of that organizing and planning of that event. And then it's such a good cause, going to the Behind the Badge Foundation, all the proceeds for that. But yeah, excellent weather. I mean, it's like, I was talking about ideal weather for this event, being that it's in the end of January. I mean, you're not going to get 70 degrees, but you know, we got nice dry weather, so it was good, and above freezing too. The second thing I wanted to mention is that, I mentioned it earlier, but just touched on it, is that, you know, we did receive the grant award from Snohomish County for that, for those three banners. And we'll be working with the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, the representative from that organization, and also from the Downtown Monroe Association, as well as the Snohomish County Tourism Bureau. The banners will be a blend of the Tourism Bureau's branding elements for tourism as well as our local. So, you know, if you can visualize the tourism branding banners we have downtown now, and then, you know, that represents our community, and we'll blend it with Snohomish County Tourism Bureau as well. So looking forward to working on that.
Great. Thank you. Are they going to be ready in time for the fair, or what's the...
I believe they
will. Well, in advance, great.
I think we can get through the spring.
Okay. All right, and are they going to have open up written on them? Because I think that's the slogan. Or is it just the imagery? We'll work through that. Okay, I was curious. All right. Anything further? Okay. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Osaki?
Just real quick, one of the items we kind of had our eye on as we went through the entire comprehensive plan process last year was just making sure that we get a certification from the Puget Sound Regional Council for our transportation element to maintain eligibility for funding through the Puget Sound Regional Council. And our plan is being reviewed right now, and the staff at least is recommending full certification of our plan, which is good.
Okay.
But there's three committees it has to go through, the Puget Sound Regional Council for that to be final. A growth management committee, a transportation committee, and final action by an executive committee. But at this point in time, the staff at the Puget Sound Regional Council is satisfied with our plan.
Okay.
So that's
good. Great. Thank you. Chief?
Nothing this evening.
Okay. Mr. Feilberg?
Nothing this evening.
Thank you. All right. Chief, anything from you? Okay. For me, as you all know, we went to Olympia on Thursday, and council members have already gone over that. I made it a little bit later to the vigil and just missed the two of you. I did see Pastor Hanford leaving, though,
mm-hmm.
and spoke with the other pastor that was there. I spent Sunday morning working on a letter that was being taken to Representative Moscoso to put in as a request to, is it Representative Cliburn, for adding State Route 522, making some changes, as we've discussed before, freeing up the $10 million so that it can be used on the entire corridor, and also seeing if the $10 million can be made available for this current biennium. Before that, though, on Friday, I met with Lacey Harper from the governor's office. We still have not received what we were told we would receive a couple weeks ago, which is an estimate of the actual engineering costs for the widening of 522. Obviously, if it's not going to take $10 million to do the engineering for the widening of 3 miles of 522, it would be nice to know what the number is. Is it $500,000? Is it $250,000? Is it $1.5 million? We don't necessarily need to get $10 million released in the current biennium if all we need is a couple or a few hundred thousand dollars to start the engineering design. I asked Pam to follow up this morning, and she followed up this morning, and Lacey from the governor's office went ahead and touched base again and copied me and Pam in that on where are the numbers. I understand they were done on Friday, but they needed to be reviewed by a manager at DOT and so that they could be sent to us. So as soon as we get those numbers, we'll forward those to our lobbyists and our delegation. So that we know what the floor is on what our current need is to do the engineering design. For today, Councilmember Gamble and I and County Councilmember Klein went down to Olympia. I had the same feeling that Councilmember Gamble did. There are times you go to things, if nothing else, to be present. You know, you may not have as many interactions. We did have interactions, but you may not have as many interactions. But the fact that you're there reminds everybody that you're interested and you're part of this, and it keeps your issue in front of them. So I encourage you that as things come up, to please, if you can take the time off from work or whatever, attend them, be seen, wear your badges, let them know that Monroe is there. It does make a difference. So finally, King 5 went ahead and ran the story that I was interviewed for last week. That was on Sunday night. And so for those of you that would like to see it, if you haven't seen it just yet, you can go either to the Mayor Jeffrey Thomas Facebook page, the timeline, or you can go to the City of Monroe, click on it there and see it. They had a couple of very short tidbits from me. They ended up doing a ride-along with a barista who was leaving work, and I thought that was great. Apparently she drives a stick shift and said, "I'm going to burn out my clutch" at one point during the video segment. So anyway, we will... we did one more push because we were trying to get an updated document to the lobbyists today. We did one more push to try to add more folks from the Maltby area. By the time I took the material in today, we had received Fire District Number 7, the North Shore School District, and probably about a half dozen or more businesses in the Maltby area. Pacific topsoils and so on and so forth. So I would encourage you to take a look at the logos. We've gone from over 50 to probably over 60, 65, 70 logos on the back of that sheet of paper, and that's a tremendous amount of work in about 9 days. So there you go. Any questions about that?
So you want to mention your meeting with some review on 522 on the county's
right
responsibility.
Yeah, so we're gonna be Councilmember Cutterback and I will be following up with the Snohomish County Council Executive Summers, I think, on February 8th to talk a little bit about the county's involvement with 522.
10th. Is it 10th?
Is it 10th?
February 10th.
Thank you, Ms. Baker. Thank you, Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Cutterback, for reminding me of when I'm going to be on the 10th. I don't know why I have the 8th in my head. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and follow up with the county also about their involvement in completing 522. All right. Any other questions, comments? All right. Let's go ahead and move into administration items.
Okay.
And then we'll do exec session.
Okay. I'll quickly go over the lobbyist report.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. We've got this week's, or actually last week's legislative update in there for council review. Just confirm again the position on all the House bills and Senate bills. And I have asked Director Nelson to speak to council briefly about House Bill 2438 and Senate Bill 6425 that have to do with liquor revenue.
I have pledged to each of your places a little handout. This is AWC's speech regarding this bill. AWC is strongly proposing or trying to rally support for this bill. It's regarding the money that we get from liquor sales, liquor excise tax, and liquor profits. As they very succinctly say at the very top, it goes, alcohol consumption increases public safety and health costs at the local level. So in the past, we have received, municipalities, cities have received 40% of the liquor revenue from the state. And then in 2012, they, because of their the state's financial crisis, they capped the amount that cities from here henceforth would receive at the level that they received in 2011. So as liquor sales have grown and revenues have grown, that revenue stream has grown, it does not grow for us. And whereas our costs of enforcement do, and our health issues do, those costs do grow. On the second page attached, I've imposed a little grid that shows our liquor revenues for the last 10 years, and you can see they're relatively flat. We get about $200,000 a year. If we continue to receive the 40%, I know that liquor sales have gone higher and higher over what is the cost of alcohol increases and the population increases, and also during recessions they sell more alcohol. Those revenues should have really jumped up, but for us they did not, whereas our costs have been rising. You know, you always hope that your revenues will keep pace with your expenditures. Here is yet another revenue of ours that does not keep pace with expenditures. And so the push from AWC is to get as much support as they can from the local governments, because this particular bill will slowly bring the levels back to the 40% over a course of, I think, 5 years or 4 years. It incrementally brings us back to that 40% that we historically have received. And that's all I've got.
Thank you. Council, the question here would be, do you want to sign in support of these bills?
Yes,
for Linden. Okay, so Council Member Cutterback saying yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm seeing heads nod, so we will go ahead and sign in support.
Thank you, Council.
Council Member Cutterback.
When we had our first report a couple weeks ago, I know we went through the bills, and then I thought we asked for some more information on a couple of them. And I apologize, I can't remember exactly which ones we asked for a little bit more information before we decided. I know we have the public records. It says Monroe Monitor. I thought we wanted more information on the public records bill. So, I could be wrong. I'm not seeing anyone shake their head yes, that we asked for a little bit more information so we could make a decision whether we wanted to monitor or oppose our support. So,
yield?
Yeah, definitely.
If I recall correctly, we were thinking we would monitor all of them while we're finding out more information.
So, resolution or something.
That was my, there was a couple that we were like, oh, let's get more information, but then it was like, okay, let's just monitor it for now because it's still developing. That's my recollection of the conversation.
Were there other items you remember having questions about?
No, I thought, again, that we asked for a little bit more information so we can make a better decision on whether to monitor. So I'll have to, what I'll do is I'll go through all of them and look and see if there's something that I particular. I think the public records one, that would be something I'd want to look at a little bit more closely and make a decision whether to support that or not. So there's a couple on here I think we should take a closer look at, but I'll do that on my own and then bring it back.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Brassel.
And I do recall some of what you're speaking of, and I sat on an email following the last council meeting on a few matters, one of which, when the citizen came in and spoke about the education bill, I reached out to the school district, and nobody had any information on that particular one, but I will also go back through my emails and potentially listen to the tape as well to make sure we didn't miss something along the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah, thank you. Anything further? All right. Mr. Brassel, anything further on the legislative report? Why don't we go through the agenda for next week and the extended agenda? And then we'll go to exec.
Okay. Draft agenda for February 9th, 2016. We have confirmation appointment for salary commission. Consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we will be discussing the strategic financial plan, specifically CIP and operations and maintenance. Under new business, we have authorized Mayor Pro Tem to sign agreement with Snohomish County for hotel motel tax. And then we have discussion over campus plan. That gets back to the work plan as well and the financial plan. Have our council member reports, the Legislative Affairs Committee, and the Community Transit Board and Snohomish County Health District Board.
Okay. And so what we're going to be doing now, to the best of our ability under council member reports, is we're going to try to pre-populate when we know that you've got meetings. Now, I would encourage you, even though this is a report out of the meeting that would have already happened in a given cycle, that if you've got an agenda that has come to you for an upcoming meeting, to feel free during council member reports to let us know that here's the agenda for this meeting you're going to go to, and feel free to solicit feedback or at least just notify us of what the agenda is of the upcoming meeting. To the extent that you can, if you get an agenda emailed to you or even a paper copy, if you can transmit that to staff, what we can do is we can go ahead and we can put it online so that the council members can see those ahead of time, click on them as a hyperlink. And then finally, I would encourage you that after you go to a meeting, if you can bring back the materials, staff can certainly scan those in on a Thursday or Friday morning and put them out there so that staff and the public can see what's going on. So I would encourage you to do that. And if you've got any questions about that, please let us know. All right? Okay. Gene? Are there any additions for the next week's agenda? You probably already asked that, didn't you?
Okay. I was yielding.
You're yielding. Thank you. Okay. Extended.
In regards to extended agenda, the only thing I have for this evening that we had spoke about is on the 23rd, the Tigers should be here to lead us in the pledge.
Okay. And I'm seeing that the campus planning, it says moved from 209 under February 23rd. So are we doing the campus planning discussion next week, or did that just not get moved over to the 23rd?
Next week. So you've got it on next week.
You see what I'm looking at?
Yeah, I do.
I think we moved that to it. Yeah. So your agenda for next week may not include campus planning. I think we wanted to bump that out a week to finish the financial conversation on the capital and the revenues, and that may take some time. It took us about an hour to go through the work program tonight, and I don't want to rush things. So we have the ability to wait till the 23rd, so we'll probably go ahead and target the 23rd for that conversation. All right? If I find out I'm in error, it'll still be there for next week. Okay. All righty. Does anybody have any questions about the extended agenda? All right. We're going to go ahead and move into an executive session now. Do we have a citation for me to read in?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Could you tell me how long you anticipate for the executive session?
Approximately 10 minutes with action to follow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230.110.1I and RCW 4230.140.B, the council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel and to discuss collective bargain negotiations. The executive session will last approximately 10 minutes, after which the council may take action in open session when it reconvenes.
Thank you. And the staff that we'll meet here include Chief and Mr. Worthen, and then the folks up here at the table. Okay, we are now out of executive session. Is there a motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
Yes, I'll make a motion to amend the agenda to add a motion to approve the contract for professional services.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Camp to amend the agenda to add a motion to approve a contract for professional services. Any discussion on the topic with Summit Law Group? Okay. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
I make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the agreement for special counsel legal services with Summit Law Group for services through December 31st, 2016.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback to approve a contract, and a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. There being no further business this evening, Councilmember Kemp.
I move the adjourn.
Second.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble to adjourn the meeting. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, and thank you for your service.
Yes, sir.